There was a light on in back of the store. He cupped his hands against the glass and peered inside, saw a small, shadowy figure moving about. He banged on the door loud with the flat of his hand. The small figure stopped moving and turned around, pointed at something waist-high to Reacher's right. There was a neatly engraved card taped to the door glass. Opening hours, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Reacher shook his head and beckoned the small figure closer. It gave a little universal shrug of exasperation and headed his way. It was a woman, short, dark, young, tired. She turned numerous complicated locks and opened the door against a thick steel chain.
"We're closed,"
she said through the narrow gap. "Department of Health," Reacher said.
"Huh, you don't look like it,"
the woman said, and she was right. Reacher had looked convincing as a bum in a doorway. He didn't look convincing as a city bureaucrat, so he nodded at Gregory in his neat gray suit. "He's with the city. I'm with him."
"I was just inspected,"
the woman said. "This is about the building next door," Reacher said.
"What about it?"
Reacher glanced behind her. A confectionery store full of luxury items that nobody really needs. Therefore, a fragile client base. Therefore, an insecure proprietor. "Rats," he said. "I'm the exterminator. We've had reports." The woman went quiet.
"You got a key for the alley gate?"
Gregory asked her. The woman nodded.
"But you can use my back door if you want. That would be quicker."
She took the door off the chain, led them inside through air intense with the smell of cocoa. The front of the store was dressed up for retail, and there was a working kitchen in back. Ovens, just now warming up. Dozens of shiny trays. Milk, butter, sugar, vats of melting chocolate, steel work services. A rear door at the end of a short tiled hallway. The woman let them out through it, and Reacher and Gregory found themselves in a brick alley about wide enough for the kind of carts and trucks they had in 1900. The alley ran east to west across the block with a single gated exit on Thompson Street at one end and a right-angled dogleg to the gate they had already seen on Spring at the other. The Target building looked just as bad from the back as it had from the front, or maybe even worse. Less graffiti, more decay. Ice damage on the brickwork, moss from spilling gutters. One ground floor window and a back door. It was the same dull red color as the front door, but it looked even more decrepit. It looked like a wooden core sheeted over with steel and last painted by some GI looking for work after Korea, or after World War II, or World War I. But it had a modern lock, just one. A good, solid deadbolt. The handle was an old-fashioned brass ball, black and pitted with age. Impossible to tell whether it had been touched within the last hour. Reacher grabbed it and pushed. The door gave an eighth inch and then stopped dead against the lock's steel tongue. No way in. Reacher turned back and headed for the chocolatier's kitchen. She was squeezing molten chocolate out of a heavy linen bag through a silver nozzle, dotting a baking sheet with one squeeze every 2 inches.
"Want to lick the spoon?"
she asked, watching him, watching her. "You ever seen anyone next door?" he asked back.
"Nobody."
"Not even coming and going?"
"Never. It's a vacant building."
"Are you here every day?"
"From 7:30 in the morning. I fire up the ovens first thing, and I turn them off at 10 in the evening. Then I clean up, and I'm out of here by 11:30. 16-hour days. I'm regular as clockwork."
"7 days a week?"
"Small business. We never rest."
"Hard life."
"For you, too."
"Me?"
"With the rats in this town?"
Reacher nodded. "Who's the owner next door?"
"Don't you know? You're with the city?"
"You could save me some time," Reacher said. "The records are a mess."
"I've got no idea,"
the woman said. "Okay. Have a great day."
"Check the building permits on the front window. They have a bunch of phone numbers on them. The owner's probably listed. You should have seen the shit I had to list to get this place done."
"Thanks.
Want a chocolate?"
"Not on duty." He followed Gregory out of the front of the store, and they turned right and checked the Target building's front window. It was backed with dark curtains. There were a dozen permits pasted to the glass. The glass was filthy with soot, and the permits were dry and curled. All of them were long expired. But they still had phone numbers, handwritten with a black marker pen. One number for each of the participants in the abandoned project. Architect, contractor, owner. Gregory didn't write them down, just took out his small silver cell phone and took a picture with it. Then he used it again, this time to make a call to the Dakota. Incoming, he said. The in-reacher walked west to 6th Avenue and rode the C train 8 stops north to 72nd Street. They came up into the daylight right next to Strawberry Fields, walked into the Dakota's lobby at 8:30 exactly. The woman who was watching the building saw them enter and made a note of the time. Chapter 9. The bad news put Edward Lane on a knife edge. Reacher watched him carefully and saw him struggling for control. He paced back and forth across the living room floor and curled his hands compulsively and scratched at his palms with his nails. "Inclusions?" he asked. "Like a demand, like an entitlement." "I'm revising my conclusions," Reacher said. "Maybe there aren't three guys. Maybe there are only two. One stays with Kate and Jade, the other comes down to the city alone. He doesn't really need to watch Gregory walk away down West Broadway, because he's planning on using the back door anyway. He's already in the alley, out of sight." "Risky. Safer to be loose on the street." Reacher shook his head. "They did their homework. The neighbor is in her building from 7:30 in the morning until 11:30 at night, which explains the times they chose. 7 o'clock this morning, before she arrived. 11:40 the first night, after she left. 11:40 is a weirdly precise choice of time, don't you think? There had to be some reason for it." Edward Lane said nothing. Reacher said, "Or maybe there's only one guy, on his own." "It's possible. If Kate and Jade are secured upstate, he could have come down alone."
"Secured?"
"Locked up somewhere. Maybe bound and gagged."
"For 12 hours at a time. There and back?"
"This is a kidnap. They're not at a health spa."
"Just one guy?"
"It's possible," Reacher said again.
"And maybe he wasn't in the alley at all. Maybe he was actually inside the building, waiting and ready. Maybe right behind the front door. Maybe Gregory dropped the keys right in his hand."
"Will they call again?" Lane asked.
"Will he?"
4 hours from now, that same argument will start all over again.
"And
what would you do?"
Lane didn't answer directly. "If there's only one guy, how can he argue?"